This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Brothers and sisters, you're on the Trim Healthy Podcast. No, they're not on it. They're listening to it.
Yeah, and it's sisters and brothers.
Oh, sisters and brothers.
Yeah, because
well, that's true if it's women and men.
No, because there's, 17 men still listening. Yeah. And hundreds of thousands of women.
Hey, guys, it's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene Pearl, and I'm Danny. And we're so pumped that you're with us today. And
I reckon it was a 5 out of 10 introduction.
In the pump business, I mean, just not to be picky, but every time you say pumped, this song comes into my head. Pump, pump it up. What's that song? It's from the 80s when I went to high school and it goes
through my head.
You are
grand though. And when you hit it on the nail, there's nobody better than Dan. Like no better introduction can be said than your ones that hit it on the nail.
Yeah, but what?
But this one didn't. Okay, just live with it.
Look, sometimes we roll them, sometimes we fold them. And this was a fold them.
It's so fun getting like insulted by foreigners. You know, because they, especially like the Brits, like, and you're not a Brit, but you're like a Kiwi and it's
from
sort of the same.
From the Commonwealth.
Yeah, but like you guys are so wee in your insults even.
It's wee? Like wee little insults?
Yeah, like there's not even a consequence. Like Americans, when they insult each other, it is so great. And oh, and Mexicans? My word.
I didn't want to insult you. I was just like, letting you
being factual.
No, yeah, which is the best insult possible. Based on the truth.
Actually, I was just, you know, you tease the ones you love, Dan.
That's true.
All it was. It was actually a great introduction, but I felt like I had to just throw some energy away.
Yeah, big sis stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, what? Now it's your turn. Let's see what you have. Then it better be good. I can tell you that.
The pressure's on. No, literally. So this is my first party back for a while. Like Pearl and I went to Guats, right?
Bob, okay, we just recorded one. We're recording two, and the one we just did last week was first party back.
It's all on the same day for us.
Yeah, same day.
Yeah, we used to like try and not let you guys know that, right? But you know, Danny is famous now, and he drives out. And so when he's here, we have to do two.
We have
with
to do
him.
Two, or he's like, not worth my time and money, girls.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so the truth. Don't you dare deny it.
But anyway, I have actually been gone. Okay, so we went to Guats together. Pearl and I had the grandest time. You all saw, maybe. Pearl was like so faithful
Guatemala.
In her.
I was
putting
faithful.
On her,
you weren't.
Yeah, whatever you do. She was narrating the whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came back for half a day and then I took all my children out west. We had gotten into an accident and totaled our car. It was a miracle we lived. Total miracle that we lived. So we needed a new car and we didn't have a car that had fit everyone for
long. Those who are potty listeners, Danny and I explained this whole story to everybody and we did it better than you are.
Oh, when I was gone?
Yeah, we explained why you weren't gone.
Oh, okay. Well, great. We'll then go to my next
step. Said it was really funny. Sam talked about, Danny talked about how Sam always got your cars off eBay.
Okay,
and
we're
this
done.
This time it's a
we'll
really.
We'll move on. Okay, great. So we're out west, people. And did you tell them how we went to like 6 to 8 states out west?
She said we'll move on and picked up right where she left off.
No, I'm not talking about getting the car now. I'm just saying the west part.
Yeah, go west, young lady.
You are wanting to embellish on it.
No, but did you tell them that I went to Arizona and Colorado and New Mexico?
I think she needs to share this story.
Okay, so we were in the west.
What happened out west?
Listen, like 110 degrees, we were climbing mountains. I almost got heat stroke, almost died. Do you want me to tell you that story real quick?
Yes.
It's not even anything about the potty. Like nothing I want to bring today. There's no string of deli meat in the story like to bring.
Just
people
bring
are
it.
Used to the rabbit trails. If not, they can turn it off.
So we've got a mountain. It's actually on the map. Like it's a geological mountain.
Everything's on the map.
It's Mount Solaris.
Sam bought it off eBay,
he
right?
Bought it off, yeah, he brought it. I don't know if it's off eBay, but he brought this mountain. You know, if the world all goes nuts, we just, you know, go all out there and build a teepee or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's if our apocalyptic buried tunnel doesn't work out here.
Yeah.
We got one of those too. Mm-hmm. But So we've got this mountain and it's beautiful. And I took Arden and Esther, that's my son and his wife and their baby. We went out earlier in the year and it was beautiful and cool. And we climbed to the top of the mountain. It was a huge climb. You have to like hands and feet it at the end.
It's always hands and
feet. We were so proud of ourselves. And this is a high mountain. One day we're going to build somewhere on the mountain, you know, halfway up, mate.
Yeah.
It was great. So this time we want to repeat it. But Sam's like, hey, it's the middle of summer. And by the time
and
we got
be
out,
getting heat waves.
Yes,
out there,
by
yeah?
the time we got out to this area, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Just bam, boom. But we couldn't wait until like 6 o'clock to climb the mountain because we had to get back. Because I was meant to fly back to the coach's retreat. But then my flight got delayed. It was all crazy. But anyway, but we felt like we had a deadline at that time. And so Sam's like, you're like a psycho to climb it at this hour. I'm going to stay at the bottom with the babies.
Yeah.
But my son, my 14-year-old was like, my eldest brother's done it. And I just want to say I've done it. Please, Mom. So I was doing it for him.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, we started climbing. My husband was at the bottom with water. Like he parked the car in the shade like so that mm-hmm. the sun somehow was not hitting the metal and getting it all too hot. But still, I was worried for them at the bottom. It was that hot. But I didn't know how to respect the heat until after this. Okay. So I had a few water bottles with me and we climbed about 3/4 of the way up. Our water was gone.
And how long does it take you to climb to the top?
Probably like 2 hours maybe, two
really?
And a half.
Really? That's
okay, so
long.
Guess what though? But, you know, this is rattlesnake country.
Yeah.
This is Arizona and it's like just cactuses and stuff. Pick up the pace. Now I'm like not knowing. You know when you really try and pick up the pace when you're working harder on the house, you just start not working. Well, you just slam things down.
This is a 30-minute potty.
Okay. So I was being so careful because I'm like, I don't want to step on a snake. So I was walking so gingerly every step, yeah. right? But now we're 3/4 of the way up, my water's gone. And now we're starting to hands and feet it, but you can't touch the rocks. They're too hot. You can't sit down to rest because your bum will get burnt. There's no sitting on these hot rocks.
No.
So you just had to keep going. But then I was checking on my son. How are you doing? But every time I talked to him, my face got tighter and tighter like it was in a vice. And soon my mouth wouldn't open like the temples got so tight. And it wasn't like I was exhausted yet in my body, but I think I was having some form of heat stroke.
Mm.
And then I started having a panic about it, like my face isn't working properly. So I said, we're not going to the full top. We just got to go down. He's like, please, we're nearly there. I said, no, we're out of water. Well, I didn't care about snakes anymore. I just started getting so freaked out that I was in early stages of heat stroke.
Yeah.
That I just started bounding down the mountain. Bounded. I stepped into this old cactus.
No.
It went right through my hiking boot. These are like really awesome hiking boots, like Leslie style.
Mm.
Went right through that and an inch into my heel.
No.
Yes. And my son had to yank it out. I didn't care about the snakes. Didn't even care about the cactus pain. And I was bounding down, yelling to my husband because we looked like dots to him. Yeah. But I was like, water! Like screaming. I need water! He left the babies and because thick sound yeah. carries and he yeah. brought us that water and I was just chucking it all over my body. I didn't even know to drink yet because I wasn't even sweating because it was 110
yeah.
degrees and you can't sweat because it evaporates. You're just in this oven and I suppose you're heating up because you're exercising, but I so respect the sun now.
Yeah.
Like I grew up in Australia, but it wasn't like this, Pearl.
You know, one of those early heat stroke signs are irritability and delusion.
Yeah, well, I was...
Like, you'll be convinced that you need to run down a mountain.
Yeah, run in the 110-degree
heat. And it makes the most sense to you at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole time you're upset about things. Like, that's classic heat stroke.
Yes. Yeah, I was a mental case.
Which, by the way, I get several times a year.
Do you really, Dan?
Yeah, and I think it's just from a long season of not... When I left carpentry, I think I had, like, nice, icy, cold environments all the time, which I was always just frozen in the midst of it. And reacclimating to is just...
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's super
whatever.
Deep.
Just whatever.
Whatever you just...
Okay, so moving on. All that say we're out west.
As I got to the end of it, I was like, I'm boring myself.
We were out west again.
And I was like, none of us care, Dan.
Yeah, I didn't even care. Like halfway through, I'm like, why? Why have I spoken?
Well, I don't know why I've spoken for the last 15 minutes. A story people don't even care about. Anyway,
it's so, like I needed to tell a story too, even if it was a bad one.
It was like bring it back to me anyway, anytime, anyhow.
Somehow back to me.
Okay, back to me now. No, okay, please. Back to me.
Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
We were driving in the west, cactuses everywhere, big buttes of rock, mesas, just awesome. And we're like, we got to listen to some Louis L'Amour. You know, we're like hours in the car every day. And so my husband got out the good old Audible and we were listening to Louis every day.
Who's Louis?
Louis L'Amour.
Louis L'Amour?
Should we forgive
Louis L'Amour, the greatest Western writer of all time? Oh, my husband still reads.
Are you talking about music or is
audio Western writing. Yeah, Western books.
My husband has them on his bedside table.
But they're so amazing. Oh. Like amazing. Oh, just stories. Oh, we were there, man. We were there in the gun shoots. We were there just on the horseback and just because we were seeing the kind of environment as we were listening. It was just such an amazing.
Do you have a recommendation of which story?
Yes, Down the Long Hill, I think it's called. But it's about Betty Sue and this boy called Hardy. That was our favorite one. If you guys listen to that or if you want to listen to that, your life will be blessed. It's just an amazing story.
Does this whole West have anything to do with what you're bringing today? Okay, I thought it felt like you were segueing.
Yeah, no, I'm segueing. I'm good. I'm dope. Like my son Isaiah says.
Yeah, dope.
Yeah. He didn't learn that from me. but we were there in these stories because I don't know. Having to imagine a story just always takes me deep.
Hmm.
But then we get to our motels at night and trying to sit the children down. We thought, hey, we'll just look up a good old Louis L'Amour Western movie.
Okay.
So we're just like drowning in the Westerns. Yeah. It was like the theme.
Of course.
And so we just found a movie that we just listened to on the book and we're like, that'll be cool. That'll be wonderful, you know, especially for the younger children to get them to say, oh, they'll kind of pick up that they'd heard the story already. Mm-hmm. And we're like, this will be great. And so we watched this one. It was good old John Wayne was the main actor in it. I was like so defeated. I was like, this was stupid. This movie was so pathetic compared to the book. Like it was so, the book moved my soul.
Mm.
The book like was just, it was just huge. We couldn't wait to get, like if we had to stop to go pee at the petrol station, gas station. Mm. Like everyone jump back in the car, press play, yeah. Dad. Like we were so about it. The movie it fell flat.
Okay.
But it covered the storyline. Yeah. Like every bit of the storyline was covered. And it made me think, wow, things that you have to imagine, things that you have to visualize, things that you have to internalize and use energy to conjure up a picture in your own head, they move you. They yes. move you more than a visual handout.
Mm.
Because what was different? Like I was trying to ask myself, because it wasn't like they left out major portions of the book. And it's not like there was much difference except for the fact that it was just handed to us on the head. But what I had imagined in my head was grandiose. It was epic. Have you ever read a book and just been moved to your soul and then you watch a movie and you're like, oh, well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and people have always said a book is better than a movie, right?
Yeah.
And you wonder about that because people have all this incredible cinematography, there's music behind it and everything like that. But the music that's in your head and the cinematography in the head, I mean, it's just, you're actually building this movie.
I'm not sure about Lord of the Rings though.
Oh, it's so good.
In the movie?
Oh, yeah.
In the book.
Oh, no, I read the books book is
when
amazing.
I was, yeah, the book is amazing. I read them when I was like 12.
But you see, the imagination that you would have imagined at 12, I mean, keep on this point.
Okay, I'm going to stay on your point because it's segueing.
Yes, it is. It is. And so I feel like it just, when we use brain power for something like
absolute truth,
the effect runs deep and it runs deeper than the synapses of our brain. I believe it starts firing our spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God knows this.
Yeah.
And I started to think, and this is where I'm coming to, because he uses this deep inner energy in the substance called faith. And so here I'm going to go to my main point. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the word hope is the word ellipsos. And a lot of people actually think it means, hope means desire. Like faith is the substance of things desired.
Yes.
But it doesn't. That word ellipsos actually means an expectation and an anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you anticipate something, when you expect something, you actually start to visualize and imagine.
Yeah.
You start the movie in your head. Like when a woman is expecting.
Yeah.
She's only just seen two lines. But she sees herself baby. With baby in the arms. She sees how the room is going to look, the nursery room. And she sees it all. But it's not just a desire. It's an expectation has this imagination rolled all up into it.
It does.
And I started thinking, this is so powerful. This is so powerful because I have just spent all this time imagining this story and it's huge to me. Mm. And then just this visual handout to me kind of felt like nothing. So I thought, this is amazing because God wants us to use faith. Mm. And I'm sure he knows the power of what comes along with true faith. True faith is expectancy.
Yeah.
True faith is imagination. True faith
is visualization.
So if you really have faith that you're going to be well, say I just read this amazing testimony about this person who was in a wheelchair. I may have shared it here. I know I shared it with some of the Hilltop people about how this person was in a wheelchair and this lady came up to this person in a wheelchair and said, I'd like to pray for you. And then after she prayed, she said, so what do you see? I'm like, what are you talking about, see? She said, well, do you see yourself standing? Mm. And they're like, no, I'm not standing. She said, well, that's your homework. You've got to see yourself standing before you'll stand. You've got to see. It's an inner seeing. It's with inner eyes.
Absolutely.
And so I just realized this whole internal visuality, this whole imagining of things, the power of it. I mean, God is, science always backs up God in the end, but just God is amazing and he uses science. And I know faith is from the Lord and it's supernatural. But I believe there's something to the fact that there is this inner, and I'm not saying a new age way energy, but this
it is energy too, Serene, because God created all energy.
This energy that we do when this action, it's not just a little desire. No, this action of expectancy is, and this imagination is powerful.
You know that scripture in Genesis when it said, you know, and God brooded over the face of the water. That. You know, Leslie was talking about her hands being broody.
Yes.
But it was an expectation. Those broody hands are expecting little chicks, right?
Yes.
Brooding is energy. It's an expectancy of let's get this happening, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same. True. And I know you're probably going to go to a health journeys, right? But
yes, I am.
Okay, well, I'll wait because I had some things to say.
So now we'll just repeat the verse from the beginning. So faith is the substance of things imagined.
Yeah.
It's the substance of things envisioned. It's the substance of things seen within.
Yeah.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. But you see, in our English, we just think, oh, faith is the substance of things we desire. But it's not that. It's more powerful. So it's the things seen with our inner eyes. And these inner eyes are so much more powerful and they are extremely, they're more rewarding, like the reward that I got from imagining that story. It was more rewarding than the little visual handout. So, you know, faith.
That's why I just need to keep butting in. No, but please, I might be distracting. I keep going to our health journeys because it is Trim Healthy Mama.
That's where I'm going, but you're not distracting.
But I'm thinking, you know, when you get something and people say to me, well, just give me the highlights, just give me the bookmarks, just give me the dots. Yeah. Or I just want the program where it's just tell me what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
It's never sticking and it's never rewarding.
Yeah.
Until you visualize these things, until you read through and imagine and visualize and contemplate and take time to understand. I mean, all these things, like you spent hours visualizing this story, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, those are the things that become part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they remain in you.
Yes.
So that's why I have to say a lot of, I'm not trying to like, if you're a bullet point person, there's nothing wrong with that, but you still got to do your labor and that's think and dwell and hope and practice, right?
Yes.
But a lot of the people that are still going strong and Trim Healthy Mama are the ones who got that original book 8 years ago.
Right.
That too long book.
Yes.
But they read every part of it and we didn't hand anybody anything on a plate.
No, we in just fact, the recipes.
They had to figure it out for themselves.
The recipes weren't even in cups and teaspoons.
They had to figure it. We had no bullet points.
Nah.
We just talked and they had to read it and visualize it and find it. And it birthed something within them that stuck, Serene.
Yes.
We've had books since then, starter books, and they're good for people and they help people. But I'm telling you, the stickableness of this, the ones that have done this year after year after year and are still going strong. It was birthed in them not from bullet points, but from them visualizing it, Serene, in their own brains.
It's so good because I think it's this vision. Well, it says in the Bible, without vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
And vision is really inner eyesight.
It is.
And
what do they say about people that, it's not all about weight, what you're saying, but
no,
but there are study after study that those who, you know, if they want to get to a trim and healthy size, if they visualize themselves that way, it's just so much more significant of percentage of people get there than if a person says, well, I just don't know if I can and all of this, and they never do it. They don't.
Or if they get just handed a pamphlet of all these people that look at these before and afters and look how slim these people are, and it's just like a little visual handout, but it's not them actually doing an inner visual eyesight for themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know and I believe that faith is more than just visualization. It's got nothing, because there's science. But that's just science, that when you visualize things, it affects you and what you visualize becomes matter and things like that. There's science to that. But I know with the Lord, with God, faith is just the currency he uses.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting that he uses that currency.
It is.
It just made me think. But so having this vision, keeping this inspiration, keeping this expectation, keeping this full cinematography of the dream playing out in our minds. It's the step of an epic spirit heartbeat. Mm. See, it's more than just a little light thought. It's stuff of the deep. It's deep calling unto deep.
Mm.
And so that's the whole outlay, but I do want to go towards the journey, the trim, healthy mama journey. And I mean, I don't know exactly what you're having faith for, you know, those who are listening. I know that just on a personal story with my son, Arden, for new peeps in the room, that when he first got married, 3 weeks later, he was diagnosed with a kind of a cancer. I don't even want to say the name. I don't want to give it credence, you know.
We've talked about it here before, but it was a long time ago.
And it was aggressive at the start. And But they always, all they wanted to do was be parents. And from the first week of being married, it was just like all they wanted was a baby. But it was a struggle at first because of the treatments and just his health having plummeted just through from the disease and then the treatments for it and everything. And so there was this faith that we started to have for them for a baby. I mean, the whole hilltop prayed and they had incredible faith. I know that Arden and Esther, they started buying play equipment before she even got pregnant.
I know.
They started out with this little wooden swing set and then they added on to it. Then they got a trampoline and they just got everything. I mean, they had this play yard full of toys before they even got pregnant. It was an incredible kind of a faith because it was an expectation. But I just remember saying to you, Pearl, once that, Pearl, I said, this baby's as good as here.
I remember.
Because we'd imagined it. You know, to the point where I even imagined, like, I would be praying for them. And as I was praying, I would just almost imagine, like, God doing amazing things in any way that he was meant to do it, like, for fertility. Like, I was picturing any wall that was in their body, you know, like, just smashing down and just, like, a fertility river flowing through them. And I started picturing them with baby in arms. And it was all this expectation in such a visual way. And then they have this beautiful girl who's a miracle, this little Gethsemane. And she is just the cutest little thing in the world. But that's my personal experience of having a faith that has such an expectancy and such an anticipation to it. And so it may be different for other people. You know, maybe it's this the fact that you've never dropped the 60 pounds you've been trying to drop for years. But it's not just a desire for you. And that's what I want to get across. It's not just a desire for you to lose the weight. It's got to be a knowing and an expectancy, like it's as good as done. Like, so you start imagining yourself being that person 60 pounds down in a way that brings victory now.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, I was going to ask you guys, do you guys imagine that this like belief in what you're wanting in your life, faith, when you do it, when you have it, that you're like rewiring yourself to make better decisions and create things in your life? Or do you imagine that there is a supernatural thing that is happening behind the scenes?
With God, like if you just, I think there's levels. Like this is me just talking from my own opinion right here, and Pearl might have something different, but like I think there's different levels. Like I think people can have a positivity to get better and they can have, you know, a power of positive thinking, you know, like, and I think it goes far because there's science to it. But I do believe miracles from the Lord used through the currency of faith is something that's a power from on high.
Yeah.
And it's from the cross. But I just think he uses the currency of
this. But I do think that it's what you talked about it once, Serene. When you're believing for let's say a healing or a miracle or something to happen, you know, you do things and you talk in a way and you act in a way, all of it that support that belief. Mm-hmm. And so it does change what you do, what you say, how you eat, yes, everything.
It does.
There's two parts to this. Mm-hmm. It's the believing. I'm going to be having something incredible here that most people would say cannot happen.
Yeah.
But with God, it can.
Yes.
Then there's the, well, now I'm going to support that decision by everything that I do and say and think and eat.
Yes.
Maybe not everything that you eat, but most of it, all of it will line up with this. And so, yeah, my habits will change. My words will change. That's the way I look at it. And so there's both science and then there's the power of God, and they line up beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
But I do believe it's not all us. It's just where we meet God.
Of course.
We meet God with this currency.
But he's such a natural God.
He is.
He's supernatural. He's so natural, it's supernatural. Mm-hmm. And what we think of sometimes as supernatural miraculousness is God made that in this world, and it's here.
It's amazing.
And in his natural power is so natural, it's supernatural.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So
supernaturally natural.
Yeah. So take the energy, take the time and think and imagine and dream and let the dream take its full scope.
Yeah.
Can I just share, like, personally, please, who cares, like who cares about properness and who cares about timing?
Yeah.
I just came in here 2 hours ago and announced that I'm pregnant to Danny and John and Pearl and Leslie Park. It's so exciting.
Oh,
but it's,
gosh.
I tell you what, it's such a miracle. It's so of the Lord. After my last miscarriage, you've walked the journey with me, people, but after my last miscarriage, it was quite a traumatic kind of one.
Yeah.
I was miscarrying for like 3 months and I had to do the drugs in the end and the DNC in the end and everything. But my body went into this thing where it just stopped even cycling. It was like, it was like, I need time to heal or whatever. And I was like, well, maybe that's that. Like,
yeah. But then Serene was like, I'm young for menopause, Pearl. Yeah. What does it feel like in menopause now? This is weird. I'm not having periods.
Yeah. So, but then I was like, no, I refuse. Yeah. I refuse. I am too young. And it's not about a number thing. I want you to hear that. It's not about like I had to have another baby to get, it's nothing about, I just felt this inside of me that there was a child that was to come. I had this knowing and I wasn't going to give up on it. And there was this contending and I was like, Lord, you can do it. You can do it. And I was just telling myself, you fertile, luscious thing. And I would just talk to myself, like not out loud in the public restroom.
Well, you told me enough.
Yes.
You did tell me. You were like, Pearl, I'm so luscious. I'm luscious. So fertile. You wouldn't believe how fertile I am, Pearl.
Hey, I've been, and then so I ordered my prenatals.
Yeah.
I've been taking prenatals every day, like for the last few months. No cycle, nothing. I'm just like, no, I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah.
But I know it's the Lord's doing. It's nothing to do with my doing, but I met him there with an expectation.
Yeah, you did.
And it's not an expectation of me or what I'm doing. It's an expectation in him. But I met him there and I'm just so excited. And so I took this little test today and boom, I'm having this baby, people.
Yeah.
Serene.
It's so cool because, you know, the fact is, Serene, okay. It's not you. It's God. And you even said, we were writing for this I'm That Girl book. You know, we've done it now and it's in being formatted right now. It's out of our hands.
Yeah.
But in it, in the end part, we write down all these things. I'm that girl who waits for her reward. I'm that girl who's a bed maker. I'm that girl who's, what was the one that you wrote? I'm that girl who never gives up.
Yeah.
different things. And you were writing that and I read it. And at the time, you know, there was no baby. You weren't even having periods.
No,
you were talking about not giving up.
Yeah.
And you said, listen, you know, you might think I'm a weirdo because I've already got all these children. Yeah. But they're my presents. And my dad, my God, he loves to give me presents. So I don't think it's wrong that dad's, you know, I'm asking him for another present. Maybe you think I'm crazy, but I know he loves me and he loves giving me presents. So I'm just going to, till he says, if he says, no, it's not for you, I'm going to be so happy.
Yeah.
But until that time, I am doing everything I can. And then you overshare it a bit.
Right.
But I loved it. But at that time, Serene, when you wrote that, you were like, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm contending and I will not give up until he tells me. Yes. And if it's a no, then I'm going to be just so happy.
And I was happy in the contending. It wasn't like depressed, like I've got to get pregnant. There was no anxiety. It was just like, I just wanted to believe in it. I didn't think it was
wrong.
But
at the time you wrote that, Serene, you had no periods.
No, none.
You were like in menopause. And I thought to myself, well, I hope God answers her prayer. Yeah. You know, I was proofreading what you wrote.
Yeah.
But in the natural, Serene, it looked pretty glim. Here you are today. You just got a pregnant. You just got, you know, you got this positive. But in the natural, it looked glim. You'd had two miscarriages. The last one was very, very traumatic. Yeah. It was even hard on your body. You had to have, two different surgeries. Yeah. You had no periods and you were having hot flashes even.
Yeah, I was at a certain stage.
You were like, and yet you would not give up, Serene. And you kept just saying, oh, no, my baby's coming. You would tell me that. And I would think to myself, granted, Lord, hear her voice. But part of me would look at the situation and the circumstances and think, it looked glim. Like most of us would say, well, it's just, you know, I had that and, you know, now, you know, I don't think it's my time anymore. I've gone through that now.
Yeah.
You know, but you held on. And so it is his currency that God walks in.
Yeah.
And so I believe if you meet God with his currency, you know,
he'll meet you with his power.
He meets you with his power. Mm-hmm. And of course you would be sitting here if you'd be just as happy if you didn't get
remember
that.
Remember I said to you on Sunday, this is like a few days ago, I said, Pearl, I'm going to be happy. I'm totally going to be, I'm happy now. Like I'm just giving it to the Lord, but I'm contending in joy. And then if he says no, I'll rest in joy.
Yeah.
But right now, until I really feel like I'm out of the season, I'm contending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting.
There you go. I didn't know I was going to share that with you people because usually it's like, well, wait 3 months.
Well, usually it's wait 12 weeks, but then you've never done that, have you?
And when is the baby due?
March 10th.
March 10th.
Next year.
And you are 44, eh? You'll be 45 when that baby comes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, bless the Lord.
44 and in her prime.
My soul does magnify the Lord.
I know.
Spirit does rejoice, for he that is mighty hath done great things. Great things, eh? God works in great things. He has great things for all of us.
Yes.
We just have to meet him with his currency.
And don't give up.
No, don't give up. Nothing, Mama, my way. And then I'll be nothing, Mama, to stay.